smarten up and call Bill Curry Board General Manager Sean Sullivan. You won't be sorry. Whatever you want, he's got it. Whatever you want to pay, he's got it. Sean Sullivan, BillCurryFord.com.
Quick disclaimer here. It's not whatever you want to pay, but you will get an amazing deal at BillCurryFord.com. And GM Sean Sullivan is dying to help you personally to navigate you through everything that you might want to know about buying a vehicle at Bill Curry Ford.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Buccaneers fans, sit back, relax. Well, maybe don't relax. Get all fired up with the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the custodian of Canton, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, Ira Kaufman on the Ira Kaufman podcast. Brought to you by Bill Curry Ford, which is Tampa's very first family of Ford. Unbelievable. BillCurryFord.com. Start shopping today. Reach out anytime you have any question about the process or you want personal help from General Manager Sean Sullivan. Great friend of Ira. Great friend of Joe Bucks fan. Great Bucks fan. BillCurryFord.com. Ira, we got plenty to talk about today. I've got something I'm so mad about. That's got me so pissed off. You're going to need to talk me off the ledge. I'm Steve Isbitz, a Joe Bucks fan. Lee DeCamper is here of Joe Bucks fan. We appreciate all our many thousands of subscribers on so many different apps and platforms and all the love that comes in for this podcast. Sage, how are you?
You know what? I'm relaxed. I might even be mellow. And when's the last time you heard me use the word mellow to describe myself? I caught up on my sleep. I'm over Lowry Park. I'm over the $26 pizza pie. I'm over the $42 admission ticket. I'm over, you know, guys, the highlight. It was a tiger roaming the cage, and he kept coming out. Instead of looking for shade, he kept coming out. Maybe he knew that we were there. Maybe he knew I was about to talk to Joel Glazer. Whatever the reason, he would come out and prance himself right in front of us with a big roar, you know, a roar equivalent to what JPP was doing on the sidelines during the Super Bowl. But now I'm all caught up, and gentlemen, the one thing that I just cannot believe is a year ago, the Bucs were coming off three straight losing seasons, irrelevant, an afterthought on the NFL landscape, Dick Stockton coming in with Schlereth every freaking Sunday. Now, a year later, I'm on a Zoom call with Jason Light, and I'm throwing the word liberated at Jason Light, and he's agreeing with me that he feels liberated. Lee, it is remarkable, this one-year turnaround of this franchise, and showing no signs of regression, zero signs. And I'll throw this out, Lee. I did a Tampa 2 segment with Mr. Derek Brooks the other day, and I asked him, what advice would you give the 2021 Bucks? And he said, you got to remember, it's a brand new year. You've done nothing. And you can't keep thinking about 2020 that you're just going to walk out there and stomp on people. And I got the impression, guys, that complacency was a big problem with the 2003 Bucks. We know how it ended, 7-9. Dissension, Keyshawn Johnson, McKay Gruden. I'm not saying that's going to happen, Lee, because I think Light and Arians are tight, much tighter than those other two guys. But you never know. Complacency, you can talk about it. You can try to guard against it. It's human nature. It's human nature. And I think that's one thing that Arians is going to put his foot down, and I don't blame him. He's going to run a tight ship.
You can talk about it, and who knows if you can overcome it or not. I think it's a fair point with the old Bucks, and we'll see if the current Bucks, if that's the case. Yeah, I think the old Bucks, they had for years, they tried and tried and tried, and they couldn't get over the hump. You know, they'd make the playoffs, and that was it. And then they finally made the Super Bowl, and then they won it, and it was like, finally. You know, after how many years they were trying. So, yeah, I do think complacency came. And Ira, mellow, you use the word mellow. Every time I hear the word mellow, I can't help but think of the great political scientist of our time, Ted Nugent, when he infamously said in one of his concerts, if you want to get mellow, you can turn around and get the bleep out of here.
You know, and speaking of Ted Nugent, I can't let this go without passing, gentlemen, because anytime I get a chance to refer to this magnificent artist, I will jump at the chance.
Here we go. Here's Chuck Berry. Here we go.
That's absolutely right. That's absolutely right, Isbeth. He was a big influence on Ted Nugent, and Nugent readily acknowledges it, Mr. Isbeth. You may not like it.
Ira,
but there
you know
it
what?
Is.
Ira, somebody could sing the national anthem at a Chargers game, and you're going to step in and say, you know what? Chuck Berry had a hand in that.
You can't overestimate his impact, Steve. Can't do it.
Hardly anybody remembers the guy. It's living. But he had that kind of impact. He was a trendsetter.
Ira, I'm just teasing you. I'm just teasing you. A lot of directions we can go on this podcast. As you mentioned, Jason Lyatt was talking the other day. I got a couple of questions in. You did as well, Ira. Nice little news conference. Fun times. Can't believe it's April. I can't believe the team's reporting back for their virtual practices, their virtual OTAs, which I can only imagine after winning a Super Bowl, Arians has been crowing about how he got through the whole year without being on a Zoom call. Imagine what those things are going to be. It's going to be like, hey guys, what's up? How you doing? Can't imagine they're going to get too in depth with anything with the veterans until it gets a little bit later. But Sage, let me go here. Antonio Brown report came out from Mike Garofalo at NFL Network about how the Bucs and Brown aren't close. And you know, the instant reaction is, well, you know, okay, they told Brown to feel out the market. Here's our offer and get back to us kind of thing. Now, we don't know what's behind the scenes of maybe they really don't want him kind of thing, or they wouldn't mind if he walked out the door, you know, given some of his baggage. But I want to put this out to you. Do you think, considering that Jason Light is now in this position he's never been in before, where he can just sort of do whatever the board dictates, and he said his plan is to draft the guy who's going to be the best player in 2 years, which I thought was a nice little revelation of his draft board of how they put it together. But do you think that there's a chance that they're waiting on Brown until after the draft? Because if they happen to get a second round pick receiver that they think is a first round caliber talent and they really liked, and given the depth they have at receiver, do you think that's part of the equation?
I think that's a very realistic scenario. I know the way Lee thinks, and I'm thinking the same way on this story about Antonio Brown and the Bucs being fairly far apart. That story was planted. That story was planted. The idea is, you know, get the fans involved. What do you mean far apart? Come on. Come on, Jason. Get this done. Turn up the heat. Yeah, turn up the heat a little bit on the franchise. Steve, if Brown hasn't signed with anybody, and I liken this to the Fournette situation. You know, Fournette's trying to come up with this scenario. I turned down more money. Well, you know what? It wasn't significant more money, because if it was, you would have taken it. You would have taken it. And you wouldn't have come back to the Bucs. And my point is, free agency has been going now for more than 3 weeks. Brown hasn't signed with anybody. There's tepid response to Antonio Brown on the free agent market. The first wave's gone. The second wave's gone. And he's not a hot commodity. I think he's going to end up with the Bucs. I don't think he's going to have a lot of choices. But, Steve, your point about the draft's well taken. I think wide receiver / tight end is the strength of this team. I think you could argue. But under the scenario of best player available, Lee, if there's a guy there, hey, even at 32, you got him highly rated above the next guy at any position, you take him, even if it's a receiver. And then you freeze Brown out. So I think Brown's going to end up with the Bucs. Lee, I'd be surprised if he doesn't.
Could I summarize your take into a Steve Dumick sentence?
Please do.
I always loved this line from Steve Dumick, our, you know, the late, great big dog of local sports radio, the dean of sports radio. And an issue like this, he would say, I smell agent.
And Lee, I don't think it's an overstatement. Look, I've never been a national pundit like these guys. You know, I've never been Mike Garofalo or Rappaport, Schefter. I haven't been Mortensen, but we know the way these guys work. We know who they talk to, and agents are a central central figure in these scenarios. They know everything that's going on all over the league. And if it's, you know, you do me a solid, I'm going to do you a solid. And that's the way the world works out there.
Oh, sure. I thought it was interesting. I was watching Good Morning Football. And, of course, one reason to watch it is Kay Adams. And she
was there strudel on the table?
Wait, no, to the best of my knowledge, there was no strudel. Kay Adams had a very interesting point. She basically was talking as if Light was there, and she was saying, don't overthink this. Don't be silly, Jason Light. Worry about signing Chris Godwin to a long term. Don't worry about Antonio Brown. Worry about Chris Godwin. I thought that was an interesting take.
That's not a bad take. Godwin's next up on the table. I don't think he's going anywhere, Steve. Godwin's not going anywhere.
It's an interesting take. I'm not sure it has much to do with Brown, but they probably put a number out to Brown. It just sounds like there's a number out there, what it is, how far apart they really are. That's the agent part of it, you know, that Lee's talking about. All right, Ira, what I wanted to mention, going back to Brown a little bit, after that report came out, I did throw out a poll on Joe Bucks Fan to see what the people thought. Simple question, do you want the Bucks to re-sign Antonio Brown? Poll was up for 5 hours. I got 1,600 votes. 60% said yes. 16% said no. 17% said they're not sure. And 7% said only if they don't draft a receiver. So it's running 60-40 that Bucks fans want Antonio Brown back, which that's not very high considering he's a member of a Super Bowl team and he contributed and he didn't cause any problems.
Well, I'm not surprised the majority want him back. Lee, it's always easy to spend other people's money. You know, Brown played pretty well down the stretch. I mean, he did. Seemed to get better with Brady as the year went on. Why not bring him back? What's the downside? Well, he's got legal issues. All right, so he gets legal issues. You get rid of him. You know, not a big deal. I'm not worried about whether Brown comes back or not, Lee. And I don't think most Buck fans are. Yeah, if we can get him, but I don't think anybody should lose sleep if Brown signs with the Cincinnati Bengals. Lee, I don't think it's a big deal. You know, you keep telling me Tyler Johnson hasn't done it yet and Scotty Miller's a one-trick pony, but I don't think Brady would be bemoaning the, you know, I don't have enough weapons if he doesn't have Antonio Brown. And, you know, let's admit it, Lee, without Brady, you know, Brown would have never been a Buccaneer. It would have never happened. I think Brown's an afterthought here in Tampa.
But, Ira, I don't want to go too much on this since we touched on it last podcast, but I know it shocked you a little bit, and I figured I'd lay it out a little bit more clearly because it was so shocking to you, it needs a little more clarification. Let's just say they do sign Brown. Maybe it takes them all the way up until training camp, and he comes on board kind of thing. But let's just say they sign him. So the 2021 Buccaneers – Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, Antonio Brown, Mike Evans, Tristan Wirfs, that very well could be five Hall of Famers right there on the offensive side of the football, or at least guys that eventually you could look at and say, hey, you know, we can't really write the history of football without those guys. And then you look on the defensive side with Sue and JPP and let me just throw in Devin White and Levante David there. Those are five, you know, high-level guys who at least might be in a Hall of Fame conversation one day, a chit-chat. And, you know, Godwin's and all as a Pro Bowler. Who knows where his career will go? Maybe Antoine Winfield makes a Pro Bowl. Shaq's made a Pro Bowl. That's why I said to you, Ira, that next year, if the Bucks can have a consistent season, because the 2020 season was not consistent. They didn't play very well early. And that was not a season for the ages. It was a finish for the ages with the 8-game winning streak, but not a season for the ages. But if the Bucks can have a season for the ages, that's why I said to you, this may be, if they add Brown, you look at the roster, you go back in history, this may be the best team in NFL history. And you know, especially if Jason Light nails that draft and gets one great player out of it.
Steve, I guess my first reaction, which was to laugh at you, which is not an unusual reaction. Part of it, I think, is we're so close to the history of this team. And, you know, just the idea of this franchise even being thought of in the ballpark, you know, with the legendary Packers and Steelers and the Cowboys of the early 90s and the 49ers, and the Patriots with their run. I mean, it sounds crazy. It sounds absolutely nuts. But you're rattling off a bunch of elite players, Steve. I give you that. Lee, I'll say this. For the 2021 Bucks to be in that rarefied air, they got to start off by going 15-2. I mean, that's what you got to start with. You got to win 15 games. You can't go 11-6. You're out of the contest. It's like Kramer in that classic Seinfeld episode. I'm out of the contest. Well, you're out of the contest.
Oh, I forgot about that episode. Okay.
Yeah, you. And of course, that's Steve's favorite. Steve's favorite episode because he relates to that. But you know, I'm feeling my oats on this podcast, gentlemen. I can go anywhere.
Mess with the animals at the zoo. Look what happened.
Well,
but Steve, you understand my point. I mean, you know, you got to start with 15-2 or better. Can't go 11-6, and I don't care what you do in the postseason, and you're not going to be considered one of the elite great teams. Like the Kemper always says, results, gentlemen, results.
Yeah, it's just a fun thing to
It's interesting, Steve. It's interesting.
The thing about the Bucks, you know, being thought of with the Steelers, with the 49ers, with Packers, don't they have to win multiple Super Bowls?
Yeah, they'd have to bring it home this year. They'd have to bring a back-to-back home this year, which has proven to be a nearly impossible task in the modern era. And, they got to bring it.
I think history will look upon the Bucks, the 2020 Bucks, more favorably than what current analysts look at the Bucks. I mean, we're, at least with me, I'm still trying to grasp that the Bucks are Super Bowl champions. Should I believe what I just saw? You know, look at the past decade. We refer to it as the lost decade. The record speaks for itself. And all of a sudden, boom, they win the Super Bowl. So I think history, you know, 5, 10, 20 years from now, will look more favorably upon the 2020 Bucks than what we currently look at them.
I think there's something to that. In some ways, I'm not sure it sunk in. Well, what just happened?
Everybody within the sound of my voice, you're all invited. Draft party. Big Storm Brewery, Clearwater, 49th Street, little south of Ulmerton. Be there.
Iris talking about April 29th, Thursday night, opening night of the NFL Draft. It's our big party. Big annual event that we've been talking about for a long time. More details coming at joebucksfan.com. But Big Storm is the host. Clearwater, 3,000 square foot covered outdoor area. Great viewing, great listening. And there's their beautiful indoor tap room, their A-plus menu. Everything's going to kick off about 7 o'clock. You come when you want, but we got a lot of fun stuff planned. Draft starts at 8. And the Bucks are probably going to be picking around midnight. So it's going to be a late night unless they trade up. Who knows? But it's always a great time. Big Storm is Florida's best craft beer, and they are the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Sage, Jason Light talking to the media yesterday, and you know, we touched on a little bit about how liberated he is with that 32nd overall pick, but and that they don't really are not really playing from a position of need. And I get it, and I believe it, but come on. Ultimately, it's BS, because Jason's trying to build a team for the future. He wants to keep winning. They want to maybe have, you know, meet some needs now and also project their needs for next year. So I think it's a little bit of baloney, because, you know, you have to be leaning in a certain direction. It's just the way it is. So I'm going to ask you today, where do you think they're leaning with that number 32 pick when it comes to a position that they really would like to fortify, even if it's tied to money? And hey, you know, let's try to get the best available blank we can have, because we don't want to pay this guy next year, or we need some flexibility at maybe it's the interior of the offensive line, or we need a little bit of leverage on Carlton Davis, and or in case we lose him in free agency, if he has a number one corner year, he's going to want $12 million. So, you know, where are they leaning?
Well, I think they're leaning towards another edge rusher. And I think that would warm the Kemper's heart if that was the case. I mean, let's be honest. You know, JPP, he's Superman in a way. He's a freak in a good way. We all know that. But he's not 26. You know, they've had some good health now here for a couple of years with Barrett and JPP, but you don't know how long that's going to continue.
Ira, that's what your wife says about you, by the way.
Nice line, Stevie. So I think edge rusher. Now, you said interior offensive line. I'm not against it, because we don't know about Jensen's future. But I would argue that, you know, now this sounds crazy, but I think Stinney might have shown enough that they feel that if Marpet or Capper gets hurt for 9 weeks, I think they think they can get by. The guy played in the, you know, the pressure games, and we never heard his name mentioned. Great compliment to any offensive lineman. Look, we know one thing, and I'm glad that Light's got a sense of humor about it. He said he's not taking a kicker, and that's funny. That's funny. And, gentlemen, I'm going to shake up this podcast, Steve. This could be a whole nother podcast, but I'm going to shake it up, and I'm going to throw it out there. Gentlemen, I am not opposed. I am not opposed.
Here we go.
To giving up a third-round pick and getting Sam Darnold off the Jets. I don't think that's a bad move. I don't think that's a stupid move. With the explicit direction to Darnold, you're going to sit until Brady walks away. You're going to sit. I don't think that's stupid. Darnold still has a chance in this league. I don't think he's been given a fair opportunity. He's been playing for a terrible franchise. Gentlemen, that could be a springboard for another podcast. Third-round pick, Lee. Third-round pick, Sam Darnold. I don't think they'll do it. They're enamored with Blaine Gabbert. That's a whole other subject, Lee. It sticks in my craw. Yes, craw. But Darnold's out.
Craw.
Guys, Darnold's out there to be had.
Who else is out there to be had?
Who's that?
Blaine Gabbert. He's an unsigned free agent.
Yeah.
Is Ryan Griffin. I don't think you're nuts, Ira. My biggest question is, you know, with the Bucs jammed up on the salary cap, what is Darnold's salary? Is he on the fourth year of his contract? And that's kind of pricey. So do the Bucs want to allocate that many millions of dollars to a guy that you pray never steps on the field?
And then, Steve, he's not under contract, I don't think, past this season. So there are some contract, you know, issues involving Darnold. But
well, he's not due to make that much money. But the point is that next year he would be. So what are you doing? I mean, if you're basically making a decision that Sam Darnold is my best backup quarterback for the 2021 season, and he probably is if that's the situation, but I don't think the powers that be at One Buck Palace would think that. He doesn't know the offense, this, that, whatever. You know, we want Gabbert to get his work and stuff. I almost think that it's just sort of a waste, really.
Well, Steve, what if at the end of the year, after being around the guy all season long, Arians tells the Glazers, I think this guy could be the heir apparent to Brady. I think we should keep him around.
But you can't afford him. You're not going to be able to afford him. Someone's going to think he's a starting quarterback. I mean, he's 24 years old, and he's, you know, flashed some good things.
But at that point, Steve, if he doesn't play much in 2021, why would Darnold be a hot commodity for teams? I mean, why? I mean,
I don't think he would be on the Bucs after this year. Obviously, the Bucs would not extend it to his fifth year option. They would not do that. Number one, number two, Darnold and his agent would be looking for a starter's job. And what? There's like eight teams out there that have trash for quarterbacks. And the team that springs to mind is Washington. And Darnold would want to start. He wouldn't want to sit. And so I sort of understand what Steve's saying. I like, in theory, your idea, Ira, but I don't know if it's realistic. You know, number one, the salary. Number two, he'll want to start quicker than Brady wants to retire. So, you know, they might be trading a third-round pick and just having a guy hold the proverbial clipboard for a year and he's gone.
But, Ira, I would love the idea as him being the backup for this season. I think it's got some angles to it. It's got some edge to it. And if they brought him in, it means Bowles had some, you know, likes his work ethic and all that. And I think it would be fun to have him as the backup. I just don't think they would think that way.
Well, two quick points. One, in terms of, you know, going into looking ahead to 2022, I mean, do we really know that Brady wants to play at the age of 45? We don't know that. We don't know that. Suppose he wins another Super Bowl. Suppose he gets hurt next year. Does he really want to come back at the age of 45 from an injury? Can't say that for sure. You know, Giselle could lean on him a little bit, Lee. And if Giselle leans, he topples over. He topples over.
Lee, Ira was going to retire at 78, and look what happened.
But more importantly, and to Steve's point, and I don't think this can be discounted. I mean, you can say, ah, come on, you know, Brady's Superman. But we were all in agreement. They're all in, you know, 2021. It's Super Bowl or bust and this and that. And the fact is, they don't have a backup quarterback that any of us believe in. You know, and I know what Arian says about Gabbert. He spins the ball. He throws the ball. He knows the offense. I would be more comfortable with Darnold going in. And just for that reason alone, if Brady's out for 5 games, I want to go 3-2, and I don't want to go 1-4. And for that reason alone, I don't think it's a crazy idea.
What backup quarterback, Ira, do you believe in?
I want a guy that you can stay afloat. That's all I'm saying.
I hear you, Ira. It's the same song from last season, but they won the Super Bowl. So Jason Light would throw a tomato at you if he was listening.
Well, I understand, but somebody could roll up on Brady's ankle. We all know that. It happens. You know, Mahomes went down for 3 or 4 weeks a couple of years ago, and the backup quarterback did a pretty good job. The Chiefs ended up winning the Super Bowl because they didn't fall apart when Mahomes was out. So they have been fortunate on the injury front. Nobody wants to acknowledge that. Depth is nice, especially under center, gentlemen.
When you guys were talking about, you know, what maybe the Bucs should target, I think it's very telling that Ryan Jensen never extended his contract.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's back next year. Next year meaning 2022. I would hope so, but I think he's going to try to get one last big contract and call it a career after that.
He played well last year. He did. He played well.
Yeah,
with Jensen, it's hard to tell. Did they just sort of go down their list and they have enough money to sign whoever they want so they didn't need to do yet another restructure, or is it something more? I mean, we know that he's had some minor back issues before, and I mean, I hate saying this because I like Jensen. It has nothing to do with his play, but he's not Mr. Fitness, and those guys tend to break down a little bit sooner than the other guys. You know, Ali Marpet's gone vegan and this and that, and Jensen, you know, he's eating 3 pounds of hog a day, you know, and he's telling everybody about it. And I'm exaggerating a little bit, but I think that might be at least a factor that, hey, maybe he's not the greatest candidate to be a top flight center for another long-term deal.
It is interesting that they haven't locked him up, though, guys. I mean, that's a good point, Lee.
All right, Ira, time for a little quiz. You know how I love to quiz you on all kinds of different things. When you shoot home and you're going under the sink to get Cosmo's biscuits and you find a leak and it's moldy already, where do you go immediately?
FloridasElitereStoration.com.
Very good, Sage. Very good. I thought you were going to give out the name, not just the website. Florida's Elite Restoration, they are Tampa Bay's premier disaster company. If you have mold, water, fire issue, whatever it might be, that's who you call immediately for a free assessment of what's happening in your home. They are mold remediation specialists. They're licensed. They're not just a mold guy. And they will work with you and your insurance company to make sure you don't get ripped off, to make sure everything gets done right. And they work with some of the finest plumbing contractors and air conditioning repair people and property managers across the Tampa Bay area. If you're in that business, call Josh Martin at Florida's Elite Restoration. We know him personally. Tell him Ira sent you, and you're looking to see how they operate and what they can do for you. You're going to be very, very excited and surprised. FloridasElitereStoration.com. Make them your first call. Put it in your favorites. If you have any problem in your home,
FloridasElitereStoration.com.
Ira, you are feisty with the website name tonight. Feisty.
FloridasElitereStoration.com.
All right, Ira, I got to throw this out there. We'll take a little bit of twist sort of away from the Bucs, but it does tie to the Bucs in some ways, given their situation at head coach. The NFL, there's a rule that's being proposed. I guess it looks like it's going to pass or has some momentum that the idea is to keep all teams and candidates on the same equal ground, allegedly. So they're not going to allow interviews for head coach or coordinator jobs. You're not going to be able to do it until after the conference title games, and you can't hire anybody until after the Super Bowl. And I got to tell you, Ira, from where I'm sitting, this is the most ridiculous, stupid thing I've ever heard in my life. And how does this help teams going out and finding the different candidates and the buried candidates that they allegedly want to find if they can't start looking and interviewing early? I mean, if I fire my head coach in week five, I'm not allowed to go interview anybody, some top college guys that I may want to explore. I can't go talk to anybody until after the conference title game. I think it's just shooting the NFL is shooting its goals in the foot.
I don't think most teams are in support of this measure. I really don't, because I think it makes a difference. I think it puts you behind the eight ball. I mean, the Super Bowl, I think, is February 13th, February 14th next year in L.A. They moved it back a week. So now it's mid-February, and now you're not going to get started with the guys not even going to walk into the building to the third week of February instead of the second week of January. I think that matters. I think that matters. I think it puts you behind the eight ball. Teams that that are looking for a new coach even more than they are now. And I'm not sure this is a popular rule with that's going to go over with most NFL teams. And I'm with Steve here. I mean, if you wanted to hire Byron Leftwich, you could have interviewed him, and then you know, you could hire the guy. I mean, I really don't see the need for this rule.
I've been actually screaming for this rule. Not screaming. I've been screaming for the abolition of preseason games. But I've been pro this rule for years. I think there's something to it. I understand that the people perceive the NFL as not helping out people of color, and they should do more as far as hiring practices. I don't think that's such an awful idea, number one. And every little bit helps. We're not talking about splitting the atom. We're talking about evaluating players. You're telling me that a guy can't evaluate his team in a month? I find it difficult to believe. And also, if you're hypothetically, if you're left or you're Bulls and you're preparing for the Super Bowl, you think you're gonna drop whatever you're doing and make a quick appointment to go fly to Seattle or wherever and spend an entire day where you could be preparing to win a Super Bowl? I don't know about that. If everybody's on even, it's on the same level, I don't see any problem with this. I don't, you know, this sort of reminds me, like, oh, you gotta have preseason. You just gotta have preseason games, or you'll be horrible. Come November, did anybody miss a blankety blank preseason game? No. The NFL just proved how worthless preseason games is. And then Goodell comes out this past week and says one reason why they're adding the 17th game is because more injuries happen in preseason. Hello, Chris, because I couldn't believe that. I hit the ceiling. So, no, this is, I don't see anything wrong with this whatsoever. The only people that wring their hands about this are like, we could have had preseason or the earth will crumble beneath our feet. No.
Well, the hypothetical I'm looking at for the Bucks is, okay, let's say Bruce Arians announces in October, he tells the Glazers, I'm out. This is my last year, and we'll keep it between us. You know, I've thought about it, and regardless, I'm out. They're not allowed to interview anybody. They're not allowed to look around for head coaches and coordinators because there's some rule that says they can't talk to anybody until after the conference title game. I don't know how this helps anybody, and the teams are not on equal ground, right? My team sucks. I fired my coach. I'm not on equal ground with the Saints. I need to go look for a coach, and I could interview 10 college guys in November and December, and if they would let me, but they won't let me talk to anybody. I don't get it, Ira.
Maybe what's behind this whole thing is the league is they're embarrassed by the lack of progress on the diversity front. You know, it's in the forefront of the thinking at Park Avenue. They don't know what the hell to do about it. They keep instituting all these different little procedures, and nothing ever changes in this regard. And they're beside themselves. And I don't think that's the reason why Todd Bowles or Byron Leftwich didn't get hired. I just don't. I don't think
it was a fact whatsoever.
I don't think that's a fact. If you want Todd Bowles, you go get Todd Bowles and you wait for him. And because it's the biggest decision you're going to make as an owner. And the Glazers think that way. That's the biggest decision they make, is hiring a coach. They think the coach is the guy that represents the franchise, They're not wrong.
Well,
they're not wrong.
Does that reinforce what the NFL wants to do? So you have an opportunity to talk to that guy? If that's the most important, I'm not arguing it's not, but if that is the most important decision, don't you want to have an opportunity to talk to that guy when he's not distracted or when he doesn't have time on his schedule to make a, you know, to make an appointment and come talk to you? Wouldn't you want that then? If that, and I'm not saying, again, let me emphasize, I'm not saying that's not the most important decision, but if that is the most important decision, don't you want a chance to talk to that guy with zero distractions, zero schedule conflicts, or if you want to talk to him for 2 or 3 days, you can talk to him for 2 or 3 days? To me, that makes the insight, you're making the point that they should have this IRA.
All I'm saying is under the current rules, I think assistant coaches and coordinators, even on playoff teams, had an opportunity to present themselves in their best light, and if they fell short, so be it, for whatever reason. I don't think it was because the owner didn't get to spend enough time with the guy. I'm not buying it. That's the reason.
Me, I just think that more good can happen than bad. And man, if someone's sitting there chewing their fingernails off in the middle of October, if we only had hired this coach 3 days before, we might have won 5 more games. You need to go see a psychologist if people think that. So.
And I also don't want to wait till February 22nd to try to assemble a coaching staff. I don't like that idea either. It would be the same for everyone, but I think it's too late. I think it's late. And I think you're at a disadvantage.
Just wanted to throw it out there.
I don't see any disadvantage, but that's just me.
Just wanted to throw it out there, Ira, since the Bucks could potentially be in a situation where they're looking for a coach. And we've got coordinators who people are interested in. And you know, the NFL is basically tightening the time if they do this, which I don't think it'll happen. But if they do it, it tightens the window to interview these guys because, of course, teams can agree to interviews at any time if somebody asks. And Bruce Arians would never stand in the way of, let's say, a team called Byron Leftwich on Thanksgiving and said, can you come in? You got a bye week next week. And Arians would never stand in his way at all,
right,
to go do that, but now he can't do it. So maybe this helps the Bucks because it limits the time that you can interview Bowles or Leftwich. So maybe it's helpful in the long run. So we'll see. We'll see. Sage, anything else from Jason Light that struck you? Any insight behind that? Words that you can read between the lines on? Anything there?
Yeah, one thing struck me. I asked him how it feels to be in a position to take the best available player after telling us for 7 years that they were going to do exactly that. And as he tried to explain it, and the more he talked about it, it became clear to me, gentlemen, and Light is not the only one, far from it. But the more he talked, the more he revealed that when need keeps creeping up into your thoughts and it sort of interferes with your draft ratings, it screws you up. It screws you up more than it doesn't. Now, they needed a right tackle and they needed a safety, and they got the right two guys. It certainly didn't screw them up. But look at 2016. I think they went into that draft. I'll be damned if they didn't go into that draft saying, we got to get a cornerback. We got to take one early. Well, they end up with Hargraves. We got to have an edge rusher. Got to have it. So they reach for Noah Spence. And we got to have a kicker. Obviously, need trumped everything with the Aguayo pick. And it screws you up more than it helps you, guys. You got to be true to your draft board. You got to be true to your draft board. Now, I'm not saying if you got a kicker with a 9-8 rating, and a defensive end is at 9-2, you take the kicker. Of course not, especially with Sucka. But you got to use common sense. But, Lee, when you're too heavy on the need, you're going to screw up more often than not. You're going to screw up. And that's why I think the Bucks are sitting pretty going into this draft.
Well, thank goodness the Bucks really don't have a need. That's a beautiful thing. And I've always been of the opinion, if you don't address your need, you're irresponsible. I always used to get into it with Dumig here, about best player available. And I would say, okay, Steve, so you're saying that the Indianapolis Colts need to draft a quarterback. The quarterback's highest on the board. He's the best player available, no matter if you have Peyton Manning at 30 years old. And he can get all bent out of shape, but I would say that. You know, I could go down just like you, Ivor. You could go down guys addressing needs and striking out. I can go down teams not addressing needs and royally screwing out. And I think the best example I could think of is the Steelers passing on Dan Marino.
Lee, I could argue that in 2019 that Light stuck to his board and took Devin White when there might have been a more of a crying need for an edge rusher. And
well,
White
was, I don't know if that was necessarily best player available. I think they had him targeted before the draft because that's all Arians was talking about prior to the draft was inside linebacker. He was talking about Devin Bush. So I think they had him targeted all along.
He was targeted because he was one of the five highest ranked players on their board. And Josh Allen was not. Josh Allen was not. And White's a better player than Josh Allen. He's only going to get better. And it was a great pick. And he didn't get himself boxed in with the edge rusher. And he took a guy who's going to make six Pro Bowls before he quits.
Ira.
Of course, we could argue that Josh Allen wasn't a fit for Arian Bowles' defense, too.
Ira, I'm going to tease you here. I'm going to tease you here with a trivia question. And I'm teasing you, Ira, okay? But it's a real question. Who has more Pro Bowls, Josh Allen or Devin White?
Not interested. Irrelevant. Irrelevant.
You just brought up six Pro Bowls. You just said Devin White's going to make six Pro Bowls. He's one behind Josh Allen.
Devin White was their best defensive player in January. And without him, they're not raising the Lombardi Trophy.
I'm just teasing you.
I know.
You brought it up.
Right. There's no question he was the best defensive player in January. No doubt about that. I think I've said this before. If that's the kind of play that Devin White had after contacting the virus, they ought to inoculate every freaking player on the roster with the virus next year in September. Because White was, I'm serious. He was Ray Lewis-esque. He really was. He was completely on fire in January and February in the Super Bowl. And I don't know what happened, but, man, like I said, I would shoot everybody up with the virus if that's what happened. My goodness.
Two more Buck subjects for you, Sage. First, I want to remind everybody, as we heard earlier, our NFL draft party, opening night, April 29th, Big Storm Brewing Company, Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road. So much fun ahead. 3,000 square foot outdoor area, but you've also got the indoor tap room. We've got cool stuff planned, and you're going to be hearing a lot about it. Big Storm's excited. We're excited. Great time. Ira's going to be out there about 7 o'clock, and he'll be rolling out of there about, who knows when he'll roll out of there, but probably around 1 a.m., and a lot of fun to be had ahead. Our thanks to Florida's Elite Restoration. Your first phone call if you have any disaster in your home, Florida's EliteRestoration.com. And of course, the kingpin himself, GM Sean Sullivan at Bill Curry Ford, supports all of Ira's work. That's where you want to start anything, anytime you have any need for any vehicle, service, body work, and of course, buying a vehicle, Bill Curry Ford, a Tampa tradition, BillCurryFord.com. Ira, opening night, NFL opening night. The Bucs are playing in that game. We're about a month away from the schedule, and I wanted to get your opinion, because I was asked this the other day, on who you think the networks and the NFL will pick to come to Tampa and play the Bucs. So your options are the division opponents, of course, and then throw in there Dallas, the Giants, Buffalo, Miami, and the Bears. And the division opponents. So again, the Bears, Miami, Buffalo, the Giants, and the Cowboys. Who's coming in here? What does the Sage have to say about what we can count on for Super Bowl opening night?
If I'm that Mr. Schedule Maker looking at that big board, and I want the juiciest matchup, and Lee, you're going to have trouble beating this, Lee. You're going to have a tough time topping.
I bet you're thinking, I think you and I are going to agree with this.
Here comes Jameis and the Saints. Here they come.
I was thinking the Cowboys and Dak Prescott.
Here comes Winston, and here come the Saints as the Bucs try to dethrone the team that has ruled this division 4 years in a row, the team that's had the Bucs number until the divisional round of the playoffs. And you got the additional little intrigue of Winston. I think that would be his first start as a Saint.
It would be. Assuming he wins the job, it would be.
Yeah, assuming he wins the job. That's got a lot of storyline. It's got a lot of juice, gentlemen. I'm going with the Saints.
I'm thinking that's a Monday Night Football game. But I know how network executives work. They don't give a damn about emotion. They care a damn about dollar signs. And in TV, dollar signs equals eyeball. Cowboys and Dak Prescott. I'll lay money. $20, Ira. Or a lunch at Lenny's. And by the way, speaking of our great friends at Big Storm, we all love Big Storm. How could you not love Big Storm? I go into Lenny's yesterday. What's on their specials whiteboard? Big Storm beer.
Absolutely beautiful.
Lee's talking about the iconic breakfast lunch place, Lenny's, in Clearwater. So Lee's got the Cowboys. Ira's got the Saints. I'm going to go, Ira. I'm going to predict, just on a hunch, I think that they're going to go with the Bears. Because obviously it's a huge ratings situation with Chicago in there.
Andy Dalton.
And, you know, ton of Bears fans all over the country. And the Bucs lost to them last year. And the NFL sort of can't really lose there with that game. I think it's a can't-miss sort of situation. I think the Saints, if you pick the Saints, you have a potential hurricane interruption where they can't move the game if they have to.
Great point.
Which happens sometimes. And, the Bucs lost to the Bears. They can have some fun with the famous Brady forgetting fourth down. And the Bears are a pretty good team. I'm going to go with that.
You know what? You bring up something excellent point, Steve, that I never thought about. If you're, I guess NBC would be broadcasting the game. At least, you know, it's a new TV contract. So I don't know the details as far as who gets that Thursday night game to open the season. But in the past decade, it was NBC. You think anybody up in New York, it's crossed their mind, like, uh-oh, that's hurricane season. And I almost hate to say this. They might have that freaking opening game on the road because someone may have had the foresight, like, uh-oh, hurricane. That would be a disaster if they had that at the lighthouse on Dale Mabry, and they would have to postpone that because of a hurricane.
That would mark the second time that the defending champion Buccaneers have to open the next season on the road.
Because they're going to be hyping that game up for weeks, if not months. And that would just be a disaster. All of a sudden, you got to postpone the game, or they got to push it back to Sunday because of a hurricane.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, move it back to Sunday or something would be bad. But I don't know. Just my guess, Ira, my dark horse would be the Bills, because I think the NFL would love to see the Buccaneers lose to add some intrigue to the season and all that. But that's just a wild dark horse that maybe they would want the best possible matchup, which I think the Bills would bring.
I got a Reuben at Big Storm riding on my Saints pick. That's all I know.
So, Ira, lastly, a lot of fans already, believe it or not, I've taken some emails on training camp. People are just already drooling, ready to get out there and figure and make their plans and all this stuff. And the schedule is probably going to come out a week after the draft. I know you've been talking to people at $1, Ira, and important people, and you got more plans to talk to important people. If people only knew the things that you do, they'd be blown away. But what is your feeling right now on training camp? Are fans going to be able to get out there in full force like they always were in August, coming out to see the team? There's going to be record demand. It's fair to assume that Arians is going to have at least one or two joint practices because he's big on those versus the preseason games. What's your feeling on where fans are going to end up in August?
Well, we're talking about 4 months out, Steve, 4 months out. And I think at that point, Joel Glazer's word, normalcy, I think will be the operative word. I really do. I was talking to somebody that works out of Amalie Arena. They've been working at it for a year. And now they're back in their normal office. And I think that's going to apply to $1 place, too. I can't wait. Because I haven't met the new Buccaneers in person, including Brady. And I think fans are going to be able to, maybe in reduced numbers, perhaps, But I think there's going to be a good number of Buck fans that are going to be allowed in to watch these practices. And I believe Arians, Lee, when he says he's going to be all over their asses during training camp, I do believe it, because Lee, Arians isn't new to this game. And he's been around very successful teams, and he knows what can happen when you sit on your laurels. And he's not going to allow that to happen. It may happen, but it's not going to be because he runs a lax camp. So I think that's going to amp things up during camp. And, Lee, I think Buck fans are going to be very pleased, because I think they're going to be able to come out and welcome their defending champions. And I think it would mean a lot to the players, too. It takes a lot of the juice out of training camp not to have the fans around.
Well, first off, about the fans, I hope the fans are there. I've read that, you know, the NFL and the NFLPA is negotiating with what to do with training camp. And I think the players, they would be cool with status quo from last year. I really believe that. As far as Arians and tough training camp, let's think about this a moment. Arians was Cowher's last offensive coordinator when they won a Super Bowl, the Steelers. And Cowher was thinking about retiring. He won a Super Bowl. They talked him into staying one more year. And he had a tough training camp for the very same reason Arians is talking about. And the Steelers, I don't even know if they made the playoffs that year. They may have, but they certainly didn't get back to the Super Bowl. And Cowher, in retrospect, said he was too rough on him. And now you've got a 17th game. The first thing I thought of when I heard Arian say, you know, we're going to work the crap out of them. I'm paraphrasing. I'm like, better be careful. Number one, and we've talked about this before, they played four extra games than most other teams. That's number one. So they're still recovering. They have a shorter window to recover from physically. And then on top of that, you got 17 games. You got to be careful. That's a fine line. I understand what Arians is saying. I fully understand it. I get it. But that's an awful fine line he's got to walk. Yeah, I don't know, man. It sounds great. It sounds great. But in practical, I don't know.
I think he'll let up and let off the reins as the season goes on. But I think he wants them ready. I think he wants them ready and in great shape when the season begins.
I've got two words about a rough or not so rough training camp. Actually, I have three words. Trust Tom Brady.
Well, Brady might be the driving force in telling Arians to keep the whip down. He might.
He might be, but, you know, he would know, because he's the last guy, and I think Steve's right, he's the last guy in the NFL that has a repeat ring.
Yes.
And he's also one of many who's still playing that did not defend their championship.
There's no way to know. I think Arians is going to be really zeroed in on when that bye week is, considering how late it was last year, and how often he's talked about how that sort of messed the team up in a lot of ways, even though it helped them in the stretch run. I think he'll have his eyes on that. But that fast start is critical, Ira. And Brady knows that too. All right, Ira, we are out of here. You want to say goodbye to everybody?
I want to say goodbye. I'll see you at the zoo next week, because there's an orangutan that they told me to come back next week. He'll throw me a banana.